good to see everyone again this evening. This evening I would like to share with you some thoughts on the subject of honesty. It's an interesting subject and one that is extremely important for us as Christians, how we are to conduct ourselves with honesty and what that entails. There are many illustrations that we could raise to point out the fact that honesty is sadly lacking in our country and in our culture. Lately in politics, with the contentious national elections that have recently passed, there is a constant questioning and conflict with regard to the integrity of the various candidates. And that certainly was the case with regard to the presidential election. As a result of that, there were many ad hominem attacks that were levied from one candidate toward another back and forth. The word ad hominem, the Latin, indicates an attack against the man. In other words, the issues were not always what was discussed. Often it was the actual honesty or character of the individuals. And some might say, well, you know, it's not right to have such attacks against the man. And indeed, those things do not make one whit of difference with regard to a particular legitimacy, with regard to a political stance or a position that is taken. However, anyone who has the idea that integrity is important with regard to our leaders would say that sometimes a lack of integrity is indeed actually seen among our leaders, and as such, it is something that is sadly needed to be dealt with in the national scene. Now, an interesting thing about the election, and this is something that's been going on for a while, there is a beginning of an industry called fact-checking. And I'll give you just an example. The Washington Post started a fact-check website to examine all the claims that were being made on the part of both parties and the various candidates, both for president and Congress and other local races. And the way in which they determined the legitimacy of any particular position that was taken or statement that was made is whether or not an individual received a Pinocchio. Maybe you've heard of this. And so, of course, we're familiar with the story of Pinocchio, a wooden puppet that when he came to life and was animated, if he told a lie, his nose would grow. And so the Washington Post determined that a statement would receive one Pinocchio if there was some shading of facts or if the truth was only selectively told to gain an advantage. It was mostly true, but not entirely true. A particular campaign statement would receive two Pinocchios if there were significant omissions or exaggerations. In other words, it was the telling of a half-truth. Something would get three Pinocchios if there were some significant factual errors or some obvious contradictions that were found in the statement. In other words, it was mostly false. And then the very worst of the lies, the real whoppers, received four Pinocchios. And so that's the way they would determine. Of course, the question arises then is, what about the legitimacy of the fact-checking organization? Are they biased? Are they telling the truth about telling the truth? And it is something that's a never-ending circle. It's obviously a sad circumstance that we find ourselves in. We certainly need men and women of integrity to serve us in public office because that is an important thing. And where that is lacking, it is indeed a sad statement to be made with regard to our culture in general. And certainly is a sad thing to say that sometimes Christians can act in ways that are lacking in integrity, that are lacking in honesty. So I have some thoughts that I want to raise in the spiritual realm in regard to this importance, the importance of honesty. And there are three points that I want to make. So this is by no means an exhaustive treatment of the subject, but hopefully something that will be helpful to us. And so the first thought that I want to raise is that it's important for us as Christians always to be honest. And in fact, there should be a reputation that we have with regard to those we come into contact with, that we are honest people, people of integrity. Now, that will not be the case with regard to every individual. In fact, the Christians in the first century, from time to time, came across individuals who were so antagonistic toward the faith that they actually lied about the integrity of Christians. In other words, they spoke evil about Christians, despite the fact that Christians had done nothing wrong. The Apostle Peter dealt with that and indicated that if an individual suffers, that is, he's persecuted, or he suffers in some way as a result of some wrongdoing that he's actually committed, some deceit, some lie, or some other kind of sin that is committed, that he is, in fact, deserving of his treatment. But if an individual is acting with integrity, with righteousness, and with honesty, and he is evil spoken of or receives some persecution, that is something to glory in, because we are certainly pleasing God. And individuals, as they speak evil against us, they will be put to shame, because it will be evident and it will be unveiled that their accusations are false. And that's the way that it should be with us as Christians. As Christians, we should always be honest. As Christians, we should put away lying. That's what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. That putting away lying, we are instead to speak truth with his neighbor, as we are members of one another. The importance of honesty on the part of us individually cannot be overstated. It should not be necessary for us to make distinctions. You know, we have in a court of law, as an example, that there is an oath that is placed upon an individual. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And individuals were required to put their hand on a Bible and to make such a statement, because of the fact that there is a well-known understanding, an individual who is not required by oath, that is, that if he lies, he will not suffer penalty, may indeed be lacking in truthfulness in his testimony. In other words, yeah, I'll tell the truth. It's one thing to say you're going to tell the truth. It's another thing to swear on penalty of the charge of perjury if you do not. And so an oath is required. An oath should never be required for a child of God. Not saying that there will not be those who are skeptical or those who perhaps do not know us that might require something of the sort in the court of law or any other place. But it should not be that you have to be an oath be placed upon you, or an oath be promised by you in order for you to be sure to tell the truth. It should be something that is just a matter of fact for the child of God. And again, there's a passage which deals with this from James chapter 5 in verse 12, where the writer James says, "Above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." The indication again there is that it should be enough for us simply to say yes or no, and because we have been consistent and we have shown integrity and righteousness in our communications with others, when we say yes, individuals will know it to be true. When we say no, individuals will know that to be true, and there will be no equivocation, there will be no lying present in our lives. For us to be acceptable to God, our yes must mean yes, and our no truly must mean no. So it is important for us to be always honest. There are individuals today that have the idea that a little white lie is of no great significance, that there are times when it is all right for me, whether out of politeness or whether it's out of an interest to not be involved, or maybe it's simply I don't want to answer the door, or I don't want to answer the phone, or whatever the case may be, that those situations arise to where I can be deceitful and be all right in the sight of God. But lying is lying. We need to recognize that that is the truth, and that for us to be acceptable to God, our yes must mean yes and our no must mean no. Now that's something that I think is obvious to all. So we'll go on beyond that and talk about some other things that are a little bit more difficult for us to discuss. We want to talk now about the importance of being honest with regard to our treatment of God's Word. And so a teacher of the gospel of Christ should be honest, and it is important for us to test that honesty. Now, this is a little bit different than what we were talking about before. There should be no need for anyone to have to test me as to whether I am being honest with regard to my conduct and with regard to the promises that I make, with regard to what I have to say, because they know my nature, they know my personality, they know how I've conducted myself in the past, and they know because I'm a child of God and because I love the Lord that I will always deal with them in an honest fashion. You know, a man's handshake should be enough of a bond where he doesn't have to sign a contract. A man's word should be sufficient to establish a particular fact or a particular matter. We all understand and recognize that. There's a different thing that we're talking about here, and that is the importance of ensuring that truth is taught. And the necessity that we have to ensure that the one who is doing the teaching with regard to our hearing, in other words, I am teaching you, the individual who is doing the teaching, that person is indeed teaching the truth. And so when we talk about honesty there, we have to have a very narrow definition. Because I know that some will say, well, you know, it is possible for an individual to teach something that is not true, that is, teach something that is error, and yet be honest. We hear that from time to time. An individual who is an honest individual, but he has a wrong conviction, and so what he is teaching is not so. It is not in accord with God's will, and yet he is sincere and he is honest. I want you to understand that regardless of his personal integrity or personal honesty, it is possible for an individual to teach something that is indeed false. And what the word false means is that it is a lie. If it is not from God's word, then it is a lie. It is false. It is evil. It is heretical. We are told in 2 John verses 9 to 11 that individuals who do not abide in the doctrine of Christ do not have God. And we are not to fellowship such individuals. We are told in Acts the 17th chapter in verses 10 and 11 that there were individuals in Berea who were noble in that they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether what they were being taught by the apostles was indeed so. Now I want to make note of a text, and I actually didn't put it up on the board, but I would like you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 to explain this principle a bit more. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in verses 14 through 16, the Apostle Peter is talking here about Scripture in general and the writings of the Apostle Paul specifically. And he says, "Beloved, looking forward to these things," having reference to the coming judgment, "be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you." So Paul wrote to them about the long-suffering of God, and the long-suffering of God is salvation. This is something Peter wanted them to understand. But as he describes the writings of Paul, he indicates that in his epistles, he speaks of these things, but there are some things that he speaks of that are hard to understand. And as such, he says, there are untaught people, unstable people, who twist those things to their own destruction as they do the rest of the scriptures. And so we want to emphasize the importance of treating God's scripture with integrity, treating God's scripture with honesty. Individuals, I think, sometimes misunderstand the fact that God's word can be understood. Not saying that we have a perfect understanding. Not saying that I have a perfect understanding. But it is important for us not to share a message that we are not certain of. It's one of the things that I've always felt was lacking in integrity. And this has happened. I've seen this happen with regard to many different preachers. I'll just give you an example. An email discussion group that I was a part of way back in the 1990s, early 90s. And an email was just coming on, and preachers thought, you know, this is a good way to study. And I was a part of a discussion list where it got to be that there were a number of men who basically threw out so many false positions, speculative ideas, probing with regard to innovation and change, just to see what would stick and what they could get away with. It was just an abhorrent thing. And then you would talk to them, "Why are you saying these things?" "Well, it's just something I was thinking about, and I'm just wanting to know what other people think about it." But they were taking a position. They were putting forward a position that was false. It was error. And in fact, there were individuals who were advocating positions that were false and defending those positions despite the fact that they were false, and proclaiming and promoting those positions. We need to understand that if that is being done, that is wrong. And why is that done? Individuals either do not have an understanding of truth, they have some prejudice that instability is indicated in this particular text that is keeping them from having that proper understanding. Perhaps they themselves are untaught. And I tell you, it takes a great deal of arrogance for an untaught man, nevertheless, to speak dogmatically about a particular position when he doesn't know that position well. Or else there is dishonesty there, where he knows that it's wrong, but he's going to advocate it anyway because it may be what someone wants to hear, or it may give him some advantage. But regardless of whether an individual is personally dishonest with regard to this, he is nevertheless not handling the Word of God aright. And as such, there is consequence. In this text, it indicates in verse 14 through 16 that individuals who are untaught and unstable, they twist them to their own destruction. But any number of times in Scripture, you find individuals who are teaching error that lead others astray as well. That's why the Hebrew writer indicated that not many of us are to become teachers, knowing that we will receive a stricter judgment. That is, we will be held not only accountable for our own actions, but the fact that we might lead another astray. There are individuals, young men, for example, who are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, babes in Christ, who are vulnerable and in need of being taught again the rudiments of the gospel of Christ because they have not sufficiently matured or perhaps applied themselves to it. These vulnerable individuals can be led astray by one who is teaching error. And so it is important that we test the spirits, that we test the prophets, that we test the preachers to determine whether or not what is being said is actually so. We're glad when those who desire the truth examine what we say against what the Bible says. That's what's supposed to happen. And I've advocated for that. Any preacher that is worth his salt would say the same. Don't accept what I say just because I say it. The Apostle Paul said it was a noble thing for the Bereans to question what it was that he was saying. But remember and understand that the standard is God's Word. It always has been and always will be. Remember the Lord in His prayer in John chapter 17 and verse 17 when He said to His Father in heaven, "Sanctify them by Your truth. Your Word is truth." The Bible is, always has been, always will be right. It is the standard that we must measure ourselves by. Whenever our teaching does not agree with the biblical record, we need to repent. We need to correct ourselves. An individual who is unwilling to do so is an individual who is not acting honestly with regard to God's Word. But in addition to that, understand that there is that necessity on our part. So we do condemn the individual who is leading people astray, but we have to understand that there is a responsibility on the part of the hearer. As indicated there in Acts chapter 17, we are to be noble, we are to examine, and I think that it is important we acknowledge how easy it is to be too credulous. And in so doing, we are not showing integrity and honesty. Let me give you an example. A number of weeks ago, there was an article that appeared on a Facebook post. And the article was from a website called the Babylon Bee. Now, some of you may be familiar with that website. It is a satirical website. Now, this particular website, satirical website, is different from a lot of the others. A lot of the others deal with national news or deal with politics. The Babylon Bee uses satire to point out some foibles in the various denominations. And so one of the things they wanted to talk about is political correctness in the various denominations. And so they concocted this story about a church that had decided to stop making reference to God in their preaching and in their worship because they don't want to offend anyone. We want to bring people in and we find that if you talk about God, it offends people, so we're not going to do that anymore. Well, that's obviously absurd. It's obviously that no church would actually do that. It was a made-up story. And yet, people began sharing that and commenting about, look at where the world has gone. This is a horrific and horrible thing. And I saw it on four or five different threads, individuals who were sharing this, and it was going on and on. And they thought it was real. They thought it was true. All you had to do, if you read the article, is to scroll down to the bottom and see it say at the bottom of the page, the Babylon Bee is a satirical website. It just said it right. And they're not trying to fool anybody. They're making a joke is all that they're doing. But people look at that. How many times have you seen that? Christians forwarding things like that, or Christians sending emails out and sharing what in fact are lies as if they are true. And when I see that, that may not be a big issue. I think it is an issue. And I think there is a sin as the way people sometimes handle social media. But can you imagine how credulous an individual must be in order to do that very thing? And then you have Christians who are doing those things, and yet they are saying, I am handling the Word of God aright. If you are capable of being fooled by a website that has at the bottom of the page a statement that we're fooling you, and yet you still think that it's so, then what about the false teacher over here who is sharing with you a false position on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, who has taken issue with the concept of either Christ's humanity or Christ's deity, someone who is using the sophistry of men to advocate for a creation process that was not in 6 days. These are all issues that have troubled brethren in the past. Then individuals will be accepting of these kinds of things without fully examining the passages that deal with the issues to find out what the truth is. And if you're not willing to study for yourself, be noble as the Bereans, that is an indication of a lack of integrity on your part. And so it is important always to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Lord told Paul his purpose in preaching back in Acts the 26th chapter. And as Paul related that during the conversion and the conversation that he had with the Lord indicated to him that his purpose in proclaiming the gospel message was to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness. Forgiveness is found only in the light. Forgiveness is found only in the truth. And so we must be honest in the way in which we preach and teach, as well as the way in which we receive such teaching that is offered on behalf of others or on the part of others. Third point, and the final point of our lesson, is the importance of honestly appraising ourselves. And the reference there is to a text in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, where the Apostle Paul says to examine yourselves. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are disqualified? Concept of self-examination, using the faith, again, the gospel as always must be our standard to measure what is the good and acceptable will of God. That's a vitally important thing. Are we doing those things that are acceptable to God? Because if we do not check ourselves, examine ourselves in light of what God's Word has to say, in light of what that standard has to say, then we will likely rationalize our behavior. And that rationalization is something that is extremely dangerous. The Apostle Paul warned his son in the faith about a time where individuals would no longer endure sound doctrine, but instead they would heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and those teachers would turn them away from truth that they will believe the lie. We need to understand that the truth is that standard, and we must check all of our words and all of our deeds to be sure we conform to the authority of Christ. As Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Of course, a word of caution is important here, because it is possible for us to check ourselves with something less than a pure heart. How many individuals who will say that they are honest and they have integrity with regard to these things, but they have a bias, they have an inability to be honest with themselves about themselves. And that examination that is mentioned there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 must be an honest examination. We must be aware of our foibles, our inconsistencies, our failures, our sins. And it is not a smart thing to deceive ourselves. But it is very possible. How many times we have done that? Individuals who deceive themselves, whether it be with regard to the physical or the spiritual. We talk about how good a shape that we're in until we're tested. We talk about how good we look until we look in the mirror. We talk about how spiritual we are until we examine ourselves in accord with the Word of God and we find out that perhaps we are not as strong as we thought that we were. It's important to avoid evil motives because they will distort the truth. And any attempt to justify ourselves and rationalize away our sin is something that is deleterious to our standing with God. These things are too important to lie to ourselves about them. As the writer of the book of Proverbs said, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. With regard to spiritual matters, is it important that we are honest? Honest not only in that we don't tell lies. Honest not only that we act with integrity in our interactions with other individuals. That we do not cheat, that we do not defraud. But honest also with our treatment of God's Word. And honest also with regard to our self-examination. Our view of ourselves. Perhaps that's the most important thing, lest we be led astray. And so we must always be honest. Honestly appraise ourselves in order to be pleasing to God. As we draw our lesson to a close, I want to leave you with a text from Titus, the second chapter. As we have alluded to, the importance of honesty and integrity to the Christian is something that cannot be overstated. It is so important for us to have such integrity. And I remind you of what the Apostle Paul wrote to Titus in verses 6 through 8 of the chapter, when he talks about the importance of young men acting in a particular way. He says the men need to be sober-minded, in all things showing themselves to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity. That's the honesty we speak of. To be individuals who are showing reverence, incorruptibility. That concept of being corrupted, the idea of being less than pure with regard to our actions. Individuals who can, perhaps through the influence peddling, or perhaps through bribery, or the promise of privilege, can lead us astray. We are, as young men, to have sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you. Now, this is a specific admonition to young men. I recognize it to be so. But that last clause, that individuals who are opponents may be ashamed. In other words, I stand opposed to a particular Christian. I stand opposed. Well, why in the world would you oppose that individual? Well, if they would state the reasons for that, there would be shame for their opposition because there is no legitimacy to it. It is not because you have acted in any way inappropriate, that you have shown a lack of integrity, that you have been corrupted with regard to your actions, your demeanor, with others, your interactions with them, you show integrity. The way you handle God's Word, you show integrity. You're honest. And so if they say, I am his opponent, they should be ashamed. Because there is nothing bad to say about you. It'd be like saying to Jesus Christ, I am an opponent of Jesus Christ. Why in the world would you want to be an opponent of Jesus Christ? What evil has he done? He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. I'm opposed to the Almighty God of heaven. God cannot be tempted by sin, neither does he tempt anyone. God is righteous. God is good. God is love. Why would you be opposed to God, opposed to Jesus Christ? I am opposed to such and such Christian. Why in the world would you be opposed to him? He's a good person. He's an honest person. He has integrity. He's righteous. He's holy. You should be ashamed of yourself. That's the way it should be. And if it is not, then there is something that is amiss in our life. And so as we draw our lesson to a close, consider the importance of honesty and integrity in our daily lives. How we treat others, how we conduct ourselves, and even, and perhaps most importantly, what we think about ourselves. That we not be self-deceived. That we not lie to ourselves about our standing with God. Examine ourselves as to whether we are in the faith, knowing that we will not be disqualified if Jesus, is in us and we in Him. As we offer an invitation, it may be that there is one of our number who, in a moment of honesty, understands and recognizes that there is something that is amiss in his life. If you're not a child of God, there is something that is horribly wrong in your life. You have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. You are dying in sin. and in need of being removed from that state to a state of reconciliation with God that your soul might be saved. We offer ourselves to you tonight that you might respond to the invitation call. Maybe that as a Christian there is something that is amiss in your life. And again, when we talk about this lack of honesty, it's not something necessarily that you have to make known publicly. You may go to a particular individual and express to them your apology for being dishonest in the way you treated them. It may be simply necessary that you go to your Father in secret and pray to receive forgiveness of your sins. But if we can encourage you or assist you in any way to get yourself right with the Lord, we invite you to come now. The invitation is extended. If you have that need, would you come while together we stand and while we sing?